Welcome, guys. Happy Friday. You've tuned into the FDN Fantastic Friday Call with us once again this week, coming to you with all things FDN. That's how we do it here. Each week we do this call, and it's a live call. And if you want to call in and ask a question, we love that. It's been a lot of callers lately in the instead of just the written-in questions. We love to hear from you guys. So if you want to call in and talk to us, make a comment, whatever, we're open to it. The number for that is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378. Just hit 1 on your keypad. I'll see you on the switchboard and bring you on. You can ask us whatever. Maybe you get more than one question if there's time. I'm your host, Brandon Mollet, and my co-host, Brendan Vermeyer, is with me again. We used to do this like every week, but our schedules don't always align, so we've had other people to fill in for me, and it's awesome. So it's sort of a team event here for the last few months with the call, but I'm excited to be back on with him again and answer your guys' questions. I'll get a little update from him here in a second about a few things I'm curious about. So, but just a few announcements. I should say it's December 13th, 2019. So year is ending, coming to a close here, and we're still going to have Friday calls all the way through, I think, you know, 20th and 27th. So make sure to tune in for those. But hopefully you're racing to the finish line here, maybe a little bit of a break here around the holiday season. Hopefully you're taking a little bit of time and planning, regrouping. But I know that I'm sprinting to the end here. Lots of people to take care of, and trainees to take care of as well, and get you in for your verbal finals, and then we can recharge a little bit and then hit it again at the beginning of the year. Hopefully that's your plan too. You have the option of doing that, but hey, if you don't like to take breaks, that's okay too. May come up to bite you later on, but I do certainly recommend taking some of those breaks and recharging and being sustainable in our programs and our lives. So we'll keep rolling with this here. But speaking of holiday season here, I always talk about this around Thanksgiving and, of course, Christmas time here. Be aware that the shipping schedules for some of these labs, right, and carriers are going to shift. They're going to be off for a few days. So you should be getting emails from either from us or directly from the labs. It's pretty common as well, just to tell you what days to have your clients not ship on, because FedEx or UPS, some of the carriers are not running. So nothing worse than somebody, client of yours, excited about taking their labs, and they think, oh, I've got a little time here at Christmas, I'll just take my lab on this day. Well, then they ship it off, and it's delayed, and it's not viable anymore, and they're upset about that. So your job as a practitioner is be proactive about that and let your clients know and go out there and check. Hopefully you know who's got kits out there they have not used yet. Reach out to those folks, remind them of those dates, or just say, I just usually say, hey, don't even test this week, or this week, just avoid testing at all and get it done. You know, make your goal to get it done this week. You're going to skip this week, next one you could do. So check out those dates on that. Be aware of that. Just make it as easy as you can for your clients to test. That's always a important part there. That can be a little overwhelming, all the labs we have them run, all the logistics, the things to think about. It's your job to make that go as smoothly as possible within reason, right? So people still make mistakes, things happen, we get that, but take that responsibility as a practitioner. Your clients will thank you for that. So that's a brief announcement there I wanted to mention. I've got a bunch of graduates to read off here this week too, so excited to do that. But first, I'll check in with the man himself there, Mr. Brendan Vermeyer. Man, how's it going?
Good, brother. It's really good to be here with you. I was, you know, I'm doing a lot of cool work behind the scenes with some of our colleagues, and I think we've got some pretty exciting, you know, announcements and kind of transitions and stuff coming soon. But that's all to say that I was literally, you know, through that, through that conversations with some of our colleagues, we're really kind of working me into a little bit of a new position where I'll be able to spend more time with the community, because, you know, I mean, hanging out with the community and being kind of the voice of the tribe and the, you know, whatever, that's what I love. I love interacting with you guys. I love doing these Friday calls. And so we are actually working on kind of redelegating certain responsibilities to free up some of my time so I can do, you know, more Friday calls, more, Facebook Lives in the AFDNP group, more chatting and commenting in the Facebook group. So that's all to kind of let you guys know that, one, I really appreciate everybody's patience because I know I've kind of been all over this year and I've missed a lot of Friday calls and whatever. But two, to kind of let you guys know that you should be seeing more and more of me, and I should be able to spend more and more time really engaging with you guys and serving you guys. So thanks for bearing with me. But yeah, good to be back. I love these Friday calls with you, my brother.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, certainly any Friday call that you've missed, it's not because you're laying around watching TV. That's for sure. You are either traveling or hard at work making some trainings or doing something to help further community. And I've just been really blown away about how big AFCUMP has grown as far as membership, what we're able to offer, how we listen to everybody, and we try to provide because, you know, the mission of FDN is bigger than just you taking the course and graduating. That alone is a huge accomplishment. We all know that's been through the course and have done that. But it's bigger than that, right? It's if you want to do this work, it's something you're starting a business, adding it to what you're doing now, it's about helping people and being successful. So AFDMP is having a bigger and bigger role as far as that mission of FDN, the bigger mission of FDN, and that's what it's about, right? So having fun, being successful, helping people out, that's like the three tenets. That's like my life, right? So that's what we do. And so AFTMP is a huge part of that. So we're putting lots of resources into that. And you guys are part of that too, right? So it's a community. It's not just you just saying, hey, I want this. Brendan, you know, make this or Reed, make this video or Jen, make something for us. You guys add to it as well. Your expertise, your knowledge, what you're seeing out there working with people. We're all making each other better. And that's a cool thing. I'm just seeing that, you know, a rising tide raises all ships. Reed said that for years, and that's definitely in effect with AFDMP. So proud to be a member and be part of it and contribute however I can, but good stuff going on. So, Brandon, I was going to ask you, that's just on my mind, just wondering how that that OAT training is going. We're kind of switching gears to advanced modules, but I'm looking forward to that. So do you have any updates on the OAT training?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity because I have been getting a ton of questions about it. And, you know, I don't really know what to say other than my year got way more chaotic than I really anticipated. So it has taken me a lot longer to finish up this project. And there's a long backstory that doesn't matter. But either way, as far as where things are at, the FDN Advanced Organic Acid webinar, the launch webinar, is scheduled for January 8th. So that'll be our big launch. I know that we're going to offer a little bit of a special promo on advanced courses as part of that launch, obviously. I know that the OAT course is already listed on the sales page, and I think it's available to buy already for $5.97, but at this point, probably makes more sense to wait for the webinar and get the promo, whatever that's going to be. My goal is to finish the course within the next 2 weeks. I'm in the process of finishing the recordings. All the content's done. I just, you know, carving the time into my weekly schedule to sit down and do, you know, 2 or 3 hours of recordings at a time. I had a little bit of a setback last week where I had to redo module 2 because for whatever reason, the audio didn't get like recorded. So it was just a video with no audio. So I literally lost 3 hours of recording. So that was a minor setback. But yeah, so it should be done within about 2-3 weeks. We're launching it January 8th at the webinar. I know everybody's excited. And quite frankly, yeah, I think it's going to be pretty great. And then I just posted in the AFDNP group yesterday because I actually already have enough content created for a mold course and then a methylation course. So I put a poll up in the Facebook group to see like, hey, you know, after I get done cooking up this OAT course, you know, do you guys want a methylation course? Do you want a mold course? And so far we have like 43 people that all voted for they want both of them. If you haven't voted yet, go check it out, cast your vote. But either way, it looks like that's going to be what I'm going to do in 2020. So just trying to deliver some good content.
That's awesome. Well, I'm excited about the OAT because I feel like every advanced module that I've gone through, yes, I learn about that lab, but I also broaden and deepen really my understanding of the other labs I already know. It's neat how this, that's all interconnected, because it's all through the FDN lens, right? The filter, the way we think philosophy. So so that's cool. And you just, I guess, that additional level of connection. That connects with this, and I see where that's going. And so you just get that depth of knowledge. People are like, wow, how do you know so much? Well, hey, you study, you learn, you see the connections there. I'm pumped about that. And then I'm going to say mold and methylation. Yeah, those are areas that we hear a lot about. I think we have an idea about, but a little more in-depth information on really what to do with it, the practical side. Count me in. Mm-hmm. So good stuff. Good stuff. So you got to continue to learn. You stick with the foundational things. Those don't ever change, but you add in some additional training in different areas. And really, you don't have to be an expert in mold, let's say, for example, but you need to know enough about it that if somebody comes to you and you see signs and symptoms of that, or you're working with the basics and don't seem to see some changes being made, you need to know enough about it to say, I need to go down this avenue with this person. Maybe, again, you're not an expert at it, but you've got enough people you can pull from within our community to help you to do that. So being aware and having a basic working knowledge of all these different areas, I think it's important. Again, not super, super deep if it has to, but it's got to be something you've got to be aware of, because we're problem solvers. We're health detectives. I don't know any other group that's better at doing that, at figuring out these hard, complex cases or things people don't even think about. It's amazing. I'm glad I have the understanding. I had so many people that I've stood on the shoulders of, been trained under and been mentored by to just have that ability to think and problem solve and figure out complex health challenges, and we've got so much of a depth of knowledge and breadth of knowledge that we're the best ones equipped to do that. So, again, kind of toot our horn a little bit on this call, but I think it's valid.
I totally agree with that. There's definitely a very particular style, that FDN practitioners have. I really do believe that our AFDNP members and really just FDN community in whole, especially, I would pick your average AFDNP member over any functional medicine physician just about any day for the most part, because we do have such a sophisticated and holistic approach to how we navigate, all the different tests and form our impression, clinical correlation. I just think we really are the best group of health detectives on the planet. So, kudos to our tribe.
Mm-hmm. And I'll piggyback on that in just a second, then we'll jump into some callers and some questions here and some graduates. But, that's, training, I trained a lot of people in this, right, over the last 5 years or so. And one thing that I don't like to see, but it's pretty common, and nothing wrong with it because I was in the same boat, is moving through the course and not having a lack of confidence and understanding what you have your hands on. We said this a bunch of times on this show, but I just want to reiterate that what Brendan's saying there, what the tools that you'll be given and the ways you'll be able to learn to think and to work through the FDN process with any single person and the resources you have to pull from, it's really remarkable. I think you have to realize what you have. So confidence in the system, in the community, be able to pull information from lots of different experts, different people there, call on the Friday call, ask questions, have a medical director consult. The ability to do all of that you're gaining there, it's such a powerful thing. And so you need to go forward any result session, any person that is ready to work with you, confidently go forward and work with them. I know that you can have that confidence that needs to exude, not cockiness, not arrogance, but a confidence there. So finding that balance, I think, is super important. For most people, it's just going to come with time. The more you do this, the more you see changes, benefits, results, all that cool stuff. It's going to take some time, but hopefully you can hear it from us, from our mouths, that have that confidence going in. People pick up on that. So if you wonder maybe why people aren't coming on to work with you, you have an onboarding call and they don't come on to work with you, or you have conversations with people, or something's just not moving right in your business, lots of things to check, of course. One thing is just check your confidence and your belief, faith, whatever you want to say, in this process of FDN and your ability and what you have the ability to do. And I think that's one of the biggest things there is having that confidence. People pick up on that because they're looking for someone to lead them, to help them. You're guiding this whole thing. And so if you're not a strong leader or feeling that strength there and that just, boy, I can't wait to help people, and you're just excited, just chomping at the bit, if you're not feeling that, check that, and we'll talk about this later on, but just some ways to sort of support that and to build that back up, because you need to have that. It needs to be at the core of your being to do well at this. So side thought there, but I think an important one. So
yeah.
Go forward with confidence, guys. Yeah.
Totally.
All right. So one way is to boost that is listen to these Friday calls. Tune in these and listen to, you know, go back years. Go grab one from 2009 if you want to, 2011 or something like that. Just listen to that call. Keep pouring it in. It's important. All righty. Let's see. That's probably good for today, I think, announcement-wise, except for graduates. So we've got several that we want to read off, congratulate here today. It's been busy. I have... kind of like Brennan, we're shifting some things around. I'm trying to open up my schedule even more so for verbal finals so you guys can get in even quicker, graduate a little more timely, get out there and start helping people. So because of that, our numbers have gone up a little bit each week, which is nice to see. So more people out there helping folks, and you know, you guys can do it too. So just keep moving forward. Watch the next video. Do the next practical. If you have problems, reach out. It's just step by step. Bite, and you're not going to see every step along the way at the very beginning. You know, it's laid out, but there will be questions. You'll have things that quite aren't connecting yet until you get to that next practical or you ask that next question. So, again, part of that's faith in the system and faith in FDN as a system, but also just as the course is designed. So don't let that hold you back. Oh, I can't see how this is going to connect. I'm not getting this. It's just step by step. So keep moving forward, guys. All right, well, I got seven that we get to announce, and we are, let's see, yeah, all over the world again today. So isn't that great? First one's from up in Canada, Ontario, Canada. Got Dana Trentini from Ontario, Canada. Steve Liu from California, also spent some time in Taiwan. Jess Daly from California. Joanne Price from California. Simone Jamie from Australia. Abby Thompson from Indiana, and then Rebecca Kyle from Texas. Guys, congratulations. Awesome job.
Yes.
Proud of you.
Wonderful.
Yeah, huge mix. I've mentored half those, and then I've definitely done the verbal finals on those, so the stories and the things you guys have pushed through to get to the point to complete the course. Again, it's an awesome, amazing thing to complete this course. It is really quite an accomplishment, and you're set to do really good things. So good job, guys. Okay. All right. Well, we can jump into questions. Brandon, you have anything else you wanted to mention or add?
No, I guess not. I'm trying to think, what would Jen tell me right now? I know on the Facebook Live, Jen's voice runs through my head pretty much all day, every day. I think she would want me to mention the conference, which, I mean, we mentioned pretty much every time on this, but the dates have already been booked. I think it was like, it's like October 20 through 22nd, something like that, that weekend, October 2020, and I think it's going to be at the Hard Rock again. I hope it is. I loved that venue. So just be sure to mark your calendars, and I do know that we're going to be doing an early bird ticket special in January, and it is going to be the absolute lowest price you could possibly get for the conference, so that'll be in January. So I did want to communicate that because, hey, I mean, yeah, we all like being cost efficient and saving a few bucks when we can, and we want as many of our FDN tribe at the conference as possible. Anybody that has been to last year or this year, it was the best weekend of my entire year. It's definitely the highlight of my whole year. So I want to see all of you there, and be sure to take advantage of the biggest discount that you'll ever get by checking out the promo that we're going to run in January.
Mm-hmm. Good boy. Awesome. You can come as a trainee, as a graduate, If you're just looking at the course, I had several people there just thinking about signing up for the course, and a lot of them did during the conference. And so it's a great way to get a feel for what we do, feel for our tribe. And, boy, speaker lineup for me was just what I needed this year. It just hit on all sorts of notes for me. Can't wait to get the recordings, go back through them, and take some more notes. But, it was a good weekend. So put it on the calendar. You're right, October right there in the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, I guess, right there. Put that on the calendar. Mark it off and put it now. That way when somebody says to you, hey, can you do something? Nope, I've got the FTN conference. So make that a priority. You won't regret it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, hey, we've got a bunch of hands raised here. This is great. So,
cool.
Yeah, so we'll start here. Yeah, we've got three at least right now. All right, so let's start with 631 area code. What's your name there, 631?
Oh, hi, it's Andrea.
Hey,
Andrea.
Can you hear me? Hey.
Sure
hi,
can.
Brendan and Brandon. I'm so glad I got on the call today. Yeah. so I have a couple of questions and one comment. One of my questions is, what is the name of the technology that the course is in? Because I'm developing a program that I want to be able to sell using the same kind of format. This way I can, you know, put my education piece into there and sell it. And I was wondering if you're able to share that with me.
Yeah, I might speak to that real quick because considering I just built my own course and did all that, that was a learning curve that I figured out this year. I can't say I know exactly what FDN uses. I mean, like the FDN Connect website, I forget like the name of the hosting, whatever. So I can't as articulately speak to FDN's stuff. But as far as outside of that, one of my tech guys talked me into using a program or software called Kartra, K-A-R-T-R-A, and it's like a course housing platform thingy. So I'm not a tech guy, but that's what we use to build my course. And then there's another one that I was looking into before I got talked into Kartra, and I'm kind of struggling to remember the name of it, but there are multiple out there, but Kartra is what I used for mine, and that would probably be worth looking into.
Okay, and what is it called if I were to do a search of it, like education programs online or something like that?
I mean, if I was asking Dr. Google myself, I would type in like online course software or online course platform or something
platform.
Like that, and you know there would be a bunch that pop up.
Excellent, thank you so much. I'm excited about that because I had a major brainstorm on the way home from the conference, and I'll share with you quickly.
The conference will do that to you.
Yes, it will. It really is, and it was a fantastic conference. It was really wonderful. My other question is for Brendan. You're focused more on the mold, and I'm wondering if you're finding anything new as a binder. I've worked with Schumacher's work, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. I didn't have a lot of success with the CSM. I'm on binders, like GI Detox and things like that. And I am still off the chart sensitive to mold. In fact, I love the conference, but the Hard Rock was too toxic for me, as well as for another moldy. And I know you're aware of how sensitive our bodies can be once our genes are turned on with this mold issue. So my comment is this. I hope that in the future that FDN will do like what Schumacher's conferences did, and that is in line with our philosophy, is to test the hotels. Run a swab, get a Q-tip, collect some dust, throw it in a Petri dish, see what's growing there. Because for people who aren't sick from mold, they'll do fine. But I was sick at that conference, and I know another moldy had a leave of the conference and was not able to attend at all. So please keep that in mind for the future. And I'm interested in finding out, what you're using to help bind the toxins and the mold impact for your clients.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for all that. And definitely, you know, that's some good feedback and, you know, something to be, like that was actually why we moved to the Hard Rock, is that was a huge step up from the, you know, the hotel from last
year.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was a little better. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, but that is good feedback. I'll bring that back to the conference committee. As far as binders go, yeah, I mean, good old GI Detox and Mega IgG are really my go-to. Obviously, being unlicensed, I can't access the well call or cholestyramine. But really, some of my go-to, so GI Detox, Mega IgG, I use with everybody. But I think other considerations too, like konjac fiber, it's just a plant-based fiber that kind of acts like cholestyramine, or Saccharomyces boulardii can actually absorb mycotoxins into the cell wall, so it kind of acts like a microbial binder, or even lactobacillus can absorb mycotoxins into the cell wall. So I think we can kind of use a number of different, you know, probiotics or yeasts, actual binders, immunoglobulins, different types of fibers, and then, of course, the heavy hitters like cholestyramine and Wellcol.
Got it. Very good. Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And I'm voting for that mold class for sure.
good to know.
Hey.
Yep.
Andrew, you count for 3 votes on that.
Yeah. I was gonna say.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, Andrea. So if there's more time, I'll bring you back on for some more. Let me grab another one here. All right, so 315 area code there. What's your name, 315?
Lucy. I'm Lucy Piper.
Hey, Lucy.
Yes.
Hello, Lucy Piper.
Hey.
Good to hear from you.
So, yes. So, first question. I'm looking at your email, what you send us, and what is this MDP shipping rate going up? What is this? Starting on January 1st.
Yeah, I just saw that too. I don't know the exact pricing update, but to my understanding, it's just going to be a very minimal price increase on the shipping of the actual kit. So, you know, obviously we all pay $75 per when we order a test, but that isn't what's going up. To my understanding, it's only the shipping fee, which, you know, is a few bucks probably, but I don't know the exact price.
But I only pay for shipping when they ship to New York State. That's only what I pay for shipping. Do you pay shipping also? I don't know.
Go ahead, Brandon, if you know more about
that. If you click on the link there, Lucy, from that email, it should go into the FTN Connect, and you'll see the details on that. So it's very minor. It's just a few things that it's affecting. We're talking like a dollar more, depending on what the situation is. So MDP consult fee is not going up. HTMA is going up slightly for the shipping side.
Okay.
And then GI Maps going to New York.
That's what I say for GM. Yeah, yeah. Okay,
yeah, so it's going up
a couple
dollars on that. Cyrex Array is going up a dollar, and the U.S. Biotech is going up a dollar. So very super, super slight increases there.
Okay. So why? Because, you know, when I always click on link and I'm going to FDN page, I never have anything description here. It's empty always. So there is, you always direct to this page, but like what I see on my computer, it's nothing. It's clear. Always like this, so I don't even know if that's what it should be, or I don't know. There is any description.
Yeah, you've got to be logged in to FDN. Yeah, you got to be logged in to FDN Connect, and then when you click it should show you there. Oh, okay.
All right. Okay. So that's another question.
That's a tech question.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Because when I'm clicking, like this is like a recent announcement. I click some of them. Appear and some not appear. It's not something work and some doesn't work. So, and I always have this problem. But okay, that's another. I need to talk to.
We'll work on that.
Technical. Yes. So, but I have another question. So, when we start to work, like on, complicated cases, for example, and when we have a test, like a problem everywhere, like it's a leaky gut and hormones. And bacteria, like a serious bacteria, I'm talking about like Candida or H. pylori. What you start first with? I answer my question because it's so weak. You know, it's probably not H. pylori what we should target first because they're so weak to take all this very strong supplements. So, but how you start when it's a complicated case? What you start first? And I'm not talking about diet. Of course,
yeah.
It's a diet and lifestyle. But like a, from a supplement point of view, what will be first?
Real quick, so I think it's going to be very, very case by case, but I think generally maybe instead of what I would start with, what I would not start with maybe is go that direction and not go with a very heavy pathogen protocol most of the time. I'm going to put that towards the end, or real heavy, heavy detoxification, pushing on the body to kind of move some things. Those would be very much last. Otherwise, for me, I'm usually going to be thinking about supporting digestion, overall vitality through minerals or probiotics, or maybe even supporting the HPA axis function there toward the beginning of things. Probably a little bit of gentle liver support too. Those are some of the first things I would probably want to work in, even if I've got some, three parasites and H. pylori present and things like that going on. Generally, I'm going to start there and then work down from there. Now, if somebody is hyper, the other factor I would think in would be symptoms. How symptomatic are they? So if they, let's say we have an HTMA and we've got a lot of metals being moved and they're highly symptomatic, well, I'm probably going to get a little more aggressive with binding some things up and trying to get some relief really quickly to them. Same thing maybe with a really acute digestive issue. I might in that case possibly go, let's just say to H. pylori, we'll just pick that one there. Metulatine might be, second on the list, might do that. So little case by case, but that's generally how I would think through it. I want to support vitality, and it improves my chances that anything else I'm going to do after that is going to go more favorably.
Okay.
So yeah, that's general thoughts there. Brendan, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, depends on the case and whatnot. And like at the conference in my lecture, I was presenting a case where, it was the mold, it was Lyme, it was H. pylori and blasto in the gut, it was thyroid autoimmunity and, hormone imbalances. Like basically, you name it, and she had it going on all at the same time, which is, obviously brings us back to our methodology and understanding of metabolic chaos, and we want to kind of support all of the systems, non-specifically. So, with her, it's like, obviously the foundation's addressed, the lifestyle, the environment, but then more specifically, quote unquote, protocol-wise, we had her on adrenal support, we had her on a lot of GI, working on clearing out the bugs, working on detox, so binders, antimicrobials, probiotics, et cetera, et cetera. So kind of a little bit of everything, and that's where I think that's the magic of how we work as FDNs is you might have that HTMA and you can be doing some remineralizing while working on the microbes, while working on adrenal. So it almost kind of becomes like, well, you as the practitioner with your clinical critical thinking skills, what seems like public enemy number one? Out of all the hidden stressors that we identify, out of all the healing opportunities that we identified, what seems to be the thing that's driving their metabolic chaos the most? And I think that's where, if we target those, a lot of the other stuff goes away. So for example, and then I'll shut up, is with, mold and oxalates. Mold and oxalates go hand in hand, but do you go after the oxalates and, you need to do a low oxalate diet, aka don't eat plant food, which which you're already not eating enough of because you're, you know, eating a bad diet or whatever. Well, no, if we address the mold, which is producing the oxalates, we probably don't need to do anything for the oxalates because, you know, we're working upstream. So that's the detective side, is what's kind of the upstream factor that's causing a lot of these downstream, such as with, you know, if you have bad gut health, well, of course you're going to have mineral imbalances and vitamin deficiencies because you have bad gut health and you're not digesting and absorbing your nutrients. So that's why in the level one course, we focus on HPA axis and gut primarily. You know, we don't even get into the other stuff beyond adrenals and gut until, you know, you get a little bit deeper. So hopefully that helps make complex more simple.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to add a little something to that too.
Yeah,
I'll just add something real quick. Yeah, I'll add that too. So yeah, about the overlap side of things too, bringing that. So the process I've been doing for several years now, looking at labs, and so I look at, of course, the person holistically, and then all the labs and how they're all interconnected. We want to think that way always, but I also look at each lab in isolation as far as supplementation goes. And I'll go ahead and just stream of consciousness, brainstorm thought, thinking through it. I'll write down every single supplement, if we're just talking supplementation, every single supplement I think could all be possibly beneficial for that person based on what I'm seeing on that lab. Then I'll pass back through and say, okay, what's too much? Look at the sheer number of supplements we have here. You know, maybe cost is some of a factor too. I don't worry about that as much anymore because I'm more about results, and ultimately people really are about results rather than cost when it comes down to it. But I'll look and I'll say, okay, is there anything that's overlapping? You know, primary importance first, just like Brendan was saying, this is going to affect this, it's going to affect this. So I'll boil those 25 supplements down into 15 or 12 or whatever that I, you know, deem is necessary. So that's a way to think about it too that might help you to prioritize also.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like that.
Right, but it's like you know, why I ask you this question, it is, you know, when you talk about taking care of gut first and like adrenaline, whatever it is, right, first to make the body strong, but we not talk about bacterial yet, right, antibacterial in this case. Why I talk about, like, I do have a client who can everything means everything. You know, and when I start to communicate actually on Facebook, on couple groups, and they talk about if you don't kill like a candida, it's going nowhere. And I try to do this candida first, right? And diet and everything. And she's just so weak, she can't handle any antibacterial, and it's not even antibiotic, it's an herbal, right? But it's very, very hard on her system. So what I did, I just tell you, forget about this. We don't even think about candida now. Even it's a big deal, you know, because if it's a leaky gut, candida, it's a big deal for, you know, for overall health. And I just cancel everything. And you know what? We just go with the diet, just only with the diet and lifestyle, and she starts to feel better. And for me, it was like, yeah, okay, so, and I start to, because, you know, maybe I did not pay attention before so much about until you have case like this, and I start to read, and I said, well, the body is so weak to deal with all this antibacterial. Not everybody, but, you know, they are in very bad condition when they come to us. So that's when I think about, okay, maybe I should stop to do like an antifungal protocol before, you know, until she starts to feel stronger. So that's when you guys talk about, so you take a first hormones, you take a first gut, but probably not antibacterial. So I don't know, did I confuse you even more?
I'd say most of the time I don't start with pathogen protocols. Most of the time I would say I wouldn't. Yeah, especially the yeast side of things. You know, yeast is more the overgrown opportunistic situation, so it's the other organisms, you know, probably first of all, it's primary. A lot of times once you clean up the gut in general and work on bacteria and parasites, if they're there, yeast sort of starts to resolve itself because you're setting up the environment for the body to start to be able to rebalance. And because Candida is usually on overgrowth, you know, there are some more aggressive ones, you know, pathogenic yeast, but most yeast we deal with is more on the overgrowth side. So if we can put all the forces in place that will keep that in check, that usually resolves itself. I'm guessing with this person, what I'm hearing with this case is probably, you know, the overall vitality and ability to detoxify and process garbage is probably the weak point here. You know, the bottleneck for this person is what it sounds like. So by doing the more gentle detoxification things like you're doing here, maybe working on some of those pathways, supporting those, when it comes time to do more aggressive work with pathogen work, maybe it'll go a lot easier. Or you may just be a slow go. This may be a 3-year process for this person. But hopefully they understand that it's probably the only way to ever accomplish it. It's going to take some time, and it's going to take the FTM methodology and the process you're walking them through. And that's really their only option. So they just need to, you know, you set those expectations, reasonable expectations, and you say we're in for the long haul. And if it speeds up and goes faster because we gain some momentum, that's great. But it may not. It may take some time. That's just that particular person.
All right. Well, you answer. Thank you very much.
Is that helpful?
Oh,
that's
yes.
a great question, though. That's a really good one to think through. I think that's probably even not a complex case, just any case. Like, where do you start? What do you do first?
Yeah.
Good question there. And then, you know, best laid plans of mice and men, you're still going to lay out a protocol and a plan, and it may just not work that well. You may have lots of bumps and have to rearrange and course correct multiple times before. But then that's where you set the person up for that and say, I talk about that. I've got a video that accompanies my supplementation protocol that talks about all these things we're talking about here and sets their mind and the process of how this could go and how it's going to work, and then I reiterate that during calls and the R&R. So they know that it could be a process, and that's okay. And so at least I've told them, warned them, and most people know, I think most people know if they're more of a complicated, quote, complicated case, or there's a little more, I guess the word's touchy, or more just you know, really can't handle that much, or it takes less to cause a reaction in the body. I think those people know that going into it, and they're a little more patient and apt to work with you and understand that's just sort of their body chemistry, the hand that they're dealt. It's what they have. And I tell them, hey, be thankful you realize that and you know it and you found a mix of things that do work for you, because you could be going around just, you know, spinning your wheels and not getting anywhere at all. At least we do have found some things that work, and that's just sort of the process. So some of it's that setting those expectations in the beginning.
Okay.
So
thank you very much.
Yeah, sure. Awesome, Lucy. Thanks for calling in. Okay. All right. Well, another hand raise here. 561 area code. So 561, what's your name there?
Hey, this is Taraya. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks. Congratulations to all my colleagues. I'm totally excited for them because I'm going to be there soon.
Yahoo.
So,
love it.
Yeah. So my question is, it's one thing, I'm preparing to take the Practical Brat 1, and I, in my R&R, the comparison worksheet that was used is different than the comparison worksheet for 205 male and 205 female, which I don't know at this point which one I'm supposed to be using, or can I just use either one of them to present?
I think you grabbed the wrong one, the old one. So the worksheet that we're using now, it should be the one that has everything on there, has all the biohealth or all the labs there we run, plus it has places for male and female. So the older worksheet we had was one for female, one for male. So what we did, we've taken those and we combined them into one. So look for the one that was used with your R&R, and it should say, like, might say new or updated, but it'll only be one sheet there, and it'll be primarily be a white background instead of black background.
Okay, okay, that's it. But when I went over, when I listened to the tape in Practical One or the module in Practical One that we downloaded, she was using the black sheet. So I kind of got confused of thinking which one to use. So, okay, nonetheless, I got that straight. So my other thing was in setting the protocol, the 90-day protocol was the same thing. Like I didn't know where to start. So I looked at the client's first major complaint and started with that. And what you just said helped was write down all the possible supplements that I could possibly offer to them and then go backwards and reduce them in order of HPA access or vitality, et cetera. So that's the best thing to do in order to work through that. I mean, because it was challenging for me.
Yeah.
To do that. So my question I put out to the Facebook group and got kind of frustrated because, you know, the response I got back, I know we're not a supplement company. I know we're not selling companies supplements, but and I know we're working with the entire dress protocol, and I know that we look at the body system as a whole, but I got the response back because I asked. My confusion was if we have this person has IBS, so they already have some issues with their gut. So my question was, should we use all one line of supplements because they work synergistically together, or can we mix supplements? Or I've never used these products before. I don't know whether using herbals would work better for the client. So the response came back kind of made me frustrated because I was like, I know that we're not a supplement company, but I'm also looking at the client's main complaint and not wanting to make their gut even more irritable by mixing BioMatrix and Ultralife and then herbals all together.
Gotcha. Good question. I've got several thoughts on protocol. Brandon, were you wanting to say something? Step on your toes there.
Oh, you're totally good. You go for it.
This is a really good question. It's probably a really good one. We can almost finish the call up with this one here. So, and it's sort of good to talk about it. So I'll back up and say this. Usually the supplement side of things is usually the most takes the most time and effort to feel comfortable with that. So any apprehension you have about what do I use, when do I use it, especially at this point in the game, just a practical one, totally normal. So don't get frustrated about that or think of something wrong there. So, and as you work through the course, you have multiple practicals that you're going to do and a lot more protocols to put together supplementation-wise. So you'll get lots of feedback. You'll feel comfortable with that by the time it comes around when you get to talk to me at the end. So we'll make sure of that. Mm-hmm. So valid question. I think any question about supplements is definitely a valid one. So as far as mixing brands, perfectly all right. So I do that all the time, right? So there's not – it's not so much brands. What I tell people normally to do is look at the supplement but support mucosa, and, okay, the label's fine, but the biggest thing is, just like with your food, you're going to look at the ingredient list. So I would prefer somebody to spend some time in researching each individual ingredient, either from directly from the manufacturer's website or just look it up on its own. You know, L-glutamine, you can find information about that all over. Get a feel for what that product is doing, what you intended to do, and start there first. Think about the individual ingredient, what's going on, because you're right, there's sometimes some herbs that may be a little more stimulating. The energy is a more stimulating herb. So if the person has anxiety or doesn't sleep well, I may not want to use that one. I might want something that's a little bit more of an adaptogen, a little more relaxing, a little bit more just supportive and not stimulating. So I might choose, you know, this product over this one. But you have to know the individual ingredients in there before you can make the call on that. So I'd encourage you to research the ingredients a little bit, be one thing. But you can mix different things. You don't want to do, you know, typically don't go overkill. Don't do three liver support supplements, you know, or three things for the mucosal barrier. Maybe it's just one. Based on the situation, that's one thing to think about. And I guess the order would also be something. So the basic order that we say is the general outlined is, first of all, get some relief care worked in, something natural to help make them feel better. After that, start to build some vitality. You know, maybe it's digestive support or some mineral support or, you know, something like that just to help them sort of, maybe some fish oil or something. It's sort of supportive. Generally, the body likes it, you know. So that's sort of in the beginning. And then maybe going to HP axis support. You start to address some things that are there with the herbs or the glandulars or the hormone drops. And then move it in some more antioxidant liver support. Work on that gut. Work, finish out with a pathogen protocol. You know, that's kind of a basic outline. But I would say just do this. I would put something down that you feel really good with.
Okay.
You're probably going to change it a few times. If you create something today, probably by Tuesday you're going to change it a few times. Most people do that. So find something you think works really good, put it out there, and during that practical, you know, they're all practice. So whoever the mentor is you're going to do that with, they're going to give you feedback, and you're going to quickly know. So you might say, let's say that you pick 70% of the ones that are the best, but the 30% maybe that you maybe not the best option there for that person. Well, we're going to correct that, and you're going to be, you know, batting 1,000 by the next practical. So each practical is going to build and get better and better. So it's always learning, always practice. Just prepare. That's what we ask you to do is just prepare adequately, go into it confidently. Any mistakes that you made, that's not a big deal. That's why we're going to learn and teach and correct. And there's not just one right protocol. There's multiple ways to do it. So there's not one protocol we're looking for. There's multiple ways to think about how to address what you're seeing there. I don't know if that answers the question overall or the post that you had there, but that's my thought process when it comes to supplementation, basically.
Okay, yeah, no, that's great. That's good. That's what I was looking for and the answer that I was looking to, or something in that line, to just feel more comfortable of knowing to choose that and that it was okay to mix the lines together or, you know, with somebody that had or IBS, do you just not upset their stomach even more with, like you said, look up the products and see what's inside, you know, and I don't know the products, so I don't know. I was trying to get feedback from that, an answer or feedback like that, like, you know, something's more stimulating, you may not want to look at that, look at something that may be or use aloe or, you know, licorice root or something like that could be to the stomach first. You know, that's what I was looking for as an answer, not we're not a supplement company. That didn't even feel good.
Sure. Well, I'm not sure where the response came from there, but think of it that way. You know, don't worry about those practicals. They're fun. Lots of good feedback there. You're going to feel more confident as you go through. It's just how it's designed. So, you know, use what you want to, you know, and like I was saying earlier, you do the best that you can. You put together a protocol you think is going to work. It seems logical. It seems doable. And then you sequence and titration, that's what saves you. So you're going to work it in one at a time, work up slowly, and listen for feedback. So there's a built-in little safety mechanism there with that process.
Okay, awesome. I'm excited. I'm excited again.
All right.
Pretty good.
Okay. Well, good. It's fun. Okay, well, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
And good luck on your practical there. I think you'll do fine. All right. Okay, cool. Supplement questions. I love them. That's good. That's part of what we do, right? So it's going to take for most folks, it's going to take a little bit of supplementation to move that needle. Not forever, but some things maybe forever. I don't know if it's possible in the world we live in today to be super, super healthy and not take a little something there to help supplement. And supplement, right, is just adding to what you're already doing. So that's, you know, first the pure definition of the word there. So it's adding to what you're already doing. So some people need less extra stuff than others, depending on lots of different factors. So hopefully that's been helpful. I don't know, 5 minutes left in the show or so. Brendan, any thoughts on any of the calls so far? If not, maybe I'll go back to Andrea, and I think she maybe had one more question.
No, it's been a pretty good call. You know, certainly that's where we did get some kind of like troubleshooting type questions today. So certainly, guys, be sure to always keep in mind you can always email support@afdnp.com to get immediate support. A lot of people email me as kind of the go-to, and A lot of times I don't have kind of the technical logistical answers of, you know, why a link isn't working or what you're supposed to see on your computer when you click this. So always be sure to shoot that kind of stuff to support at afdmp.com. But we also got a lot of good, you know, just constructive feedback and also some good conversation. So that's where, you know, I think the kind of position that I'm going to be moving into with FDN in 2020, I think I'll be able to better serve you guys in that capacity, because we're going to start doing like different kind of group training exercises in the AFDNP group, where we haven't figured out the exact details, but that's where I'm also looking for ideas and feedback from you guys. But we're kind of thinking if we did maybe like a virtual Zoom kind of hangout meeting, you know, whether that's once a week or maybe once a month, we pick a topic as a group and, you know, all learning together, growing together. Because obviously these Friday calls are a great resource and we, you know, answer a lot of questions through there. But we're, you know, we're always looking for ways that we can better serve you guys. So, you know, be sure to let us know how we can help you out even better. But no, a lot of great conversations today, and really just makes me proud when I hear these really good questions, because, hey, you know, the smarter the trainee or practitioner, the smarter the question. And we got a lot of really smart questions today. So it really just speaks to the education level of this group.
True. They're smart questions. And they, like the old saying is, there's no stupid questions. And I totally agree with that. So always ask the question and get some answers. And then you just, you know, we're hopefully we're teaching you how to fish instead of giving you a fish, right?
Yep.
So that's another big principle there too. And you can take that, and then those critical skills, thinking skills, just build on each other, and then all of a sudden, you know, you'll be on the Friday call and answering questions for lots of people.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. A couple. Andrew, I'm going to jump back to you just to see if you had another question. We have just a couple minutes left. We might be able to get something in there. So, Andrew, I've got you on air if you want to ask something, or if you can decline.
I feel so lucky on this call. I get a couple of questions in. It's awesome, absolutely awesome. One of the things that came to mind when I was listening to the other student talking about, or FDN, talking about working with somebody with a lot of bacteria and things like that, it kind of brings me back to mold, right? Because moldies have the susceptibility to just an array of secondary infections. And what I realized, I didn't see on our medical history form or on the metabolic chaos the question, and this is like one of the most profound things that's starting to ring true in the medical community, is are we asking our clients, have you ever lived in a house where there was some mold? Or are you in a school or where you work? You know, is there any mold present? And usually, you know, people think of mold as like that big black, you know, stacky boitress and everything like that. But I want to go back and take a look and just say, hey, we should have that on our questionnaire and our medical history form, because it's so often overlooked, and mold is such a sneaky bastard disease that everything else starts coming up that gets diagnosed down the line, whether it's MS or arthritis, right, or, you know, neurodegeneration and Alzheimer's and dementia and memory problems and all that. But, you know, like, are we asking the question enough to see if there's a component there? And with that said, I just moved into a house 3 months ago, had a brief water leak under my kitchen, and it seems to have, for me being hypersensitive, even though there's no active leak now for over a month, I'm dealing with, you know, being sick again, and trying to, you know, tap that mold level down to a level that is so sub, even clinically, you can't see it, like where it's not an impact. It's crazy acute. So,
Good point. I'll put you on mute there, Andrea. I'll just make one quick comment. We'll close the call here. But I think it's a overall good philosophy here. Ask tons of questions. That's what we do with our intake forms. You want to do that during your calls. Gather information and then the interpretation, the recommendations are going to bubble to the surface. They're going to make a lot more sense. So gather enough information. That's what we're about. So, yeah, good principle to lay down there. So thanks for that. Okay. All right. Well, just a few seconds left in the call. Again, thanks you guys, callers. Good questions today. Thanks for calling in. And our seven amazing graduates, great job. And one of the hardest working guys in FDN, Brendan, thanks for being on with me today, too.
Hey, likewise, my brother. Always a pleasure.
All right. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.